The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 10 degrees and sunny at the Loyola campus of Concordia University with a high of 13 degrees. I'm Dylan Bosanakis. Here are today's headlines. The Liberals try to take the focus off their embattled leader. Reaction to Quebec's ER measures is not very kind. And the LGBTQ plus community angry with the province. Members of the Liberal shadow cabinet spoke. It is the first press conference held by the Liberal Party following the elections without Dominique Anglade. Connor Tomalty joins us now. Connor, journalists were not playing along with what the Liberals wanted to talk about.
Dylan, the conference is focused on economic downturn and labor shortages, but it's truly an opportunity to hear about more unrest inside the PLQ. Given the decline of support towards and within the Liberal Party, it overshadows the true concerns of the conference.
And the issues for all Quebecers resides in the economy, resides in health, resides in what are we doing for our education program. And so this is what we're trying to talk about. This is exactly what the subject matter was this morning.
Connor, the issue of Dominique Anglade's leadership dominated the question period.
That's right. During the question period, there were innumerable attempts asking the two members about their views towards Anglade and the recent criticisms she has faced. The two new members did not take the bait.
But we are supporting Dominique Anglade as a leader of the Liberal Party of Quebec.
It's the same response in English, like we do support our leader.
What other remarks are being made?
The question of MNA Marie-Claude Nicole's refusal to rejoin the Liberal Party after her expulsion from the party and invitation back in, both by Anglade. The two shadow cabinet members remain stoic, echoing much of what has already been said by other PLQ members, that they respect Nicole's decision.
That's Connor Tomalty, live from Place Jean-Paul Riopelle. Quebec's party leaders will be meeting later today at the National Assembly. The parties will be discussing the share of power within the National Assembly. The Parti Québécois and Québec solidaire are looking to be recognized as a parliamentary group, but need the support from the government and the Liberal Party. The Assembly meeting is planned to last an hour. Hospitals across the province are filling up at alarming rates. The Quebec government has proposed solutions to overflowing emergency rooms, but will they work? Zach Fortier has more.
As Quebec's eighth wave of COVID-19 case surges continues plaguing the population, hospitalizations are surging. The Quebec Health Ministry has adopted new policies for emergency room relief, but healthcare workers say their well-being is not being treated as a priority. Isabelle Dumaine, union president for the Fédération de la Santé du Québec, says the new measures will put an even larger strain on healthcare workers dealing with burnout. What they're asking of us is to move staffers around, stretching us thin. The term that we've been using is mandatory overtime. We can't ask our healthcare workers to do more. This is insufficient because people need to rest. Our big question is how staff will be affected. We can't ask them to take on more work. Although healthcare workers are facing even more burnout, Quebec Health Minister Christian Dubé proposed three new policies last night.
It's a matter of making sure you're open to the best practices. And I think that not only this week we present three measures, but probably in a week from now, we'll have another three measures that could be implemented under this mindset of best practices.
His recommendations are the re-implementation of the One Call, One System offer via InfoSanté, the creation of two new pop-up clinics staffed by nurses, and 1,700 alternative hospital beds for those in recovery from procedures. As the implementation of these measures is underway, the pandemic's burden on the healthcare system is only getting heavier. For Concordia News, I'm Zach Fortier.
Healthcare workers across the country have been overworked, understaffed, and underpaid for a while. Health Canada has announced a new coalition for health workers. Andreas Antoine spoke with President of the Canadian Nurses Association, Sylvain Brousseau, who also is a member of the coalition. He is optimistic that the coalition will work.
I'm very optimistic of it because, I mean, it's all together that we're gonna tackle on different issues and naturally to put in place different solutions because each professional, it's just not nurses who are part of it, doctors and other professionals are part of it, and each of us will bring our point of view or standpoint regarding workforce issues in the healthcare system. It's not just about talking, it's about implementing action, because we know all the solutions. Now, how do we implement it? Where do we start?
How was this group formed? Like, it didn't happen overnight. Like, what was the process behind it?
The Minister Duclos and his team contact, and Minister Bennett également, but the deputy contact us, each organization, but me individually as president of CNA, if I wanted to be part of this. And I said, naturally, it was like, yes, I want to be part of it, because I see that as a positive moving forward.
Are you going to propose solutions, like one big solution, or are you going to make it specific to each province?
First of all, we must pay better our nurses, and we must make sure that they work at their full scope of practice. That's not the case across the country. And make sure that we optimize the nursing resources. I know it varies. The short age varies from one province to one province. And there are some specificity, but they also have a broad issue. And when you see nurses leaving the hospital, it means something is not going right at the hospital. So what is the most important is the work environment.
What happens if the coalition disagrees with Health Canada?
We all in the same page. And we need to rethink, as I said yesterday, our healthcare system. But we need to keep its unique universality and make sure that all Canadians have equality access care. Because we have a public health system and we need to preserve it. And CNA will always advocate for preserving our universal healthcare system.
Last question, Sylvain. Merci beaucoup. What's next for the coalition for healthcare workers?
That we're going to continue to work on solutions and where we can tackle rapidly and make sure that we propose some implementation across the country. Naturally, it's each jurisdiction who will all together that we will, but we will have to move forward for action directly on the healthcare system.
That was Andreas speaking with President of the Canadian Nurses Association, Sylvain Brousseau. A woman was badly injured in Saint-Hyacinthe last night after she was hit by a man. The Sûreté du Québec announced earlier this morning that the suspect has been arrested. The woman was later sent to the hospital and her condition was found to be stable. The relationship between the suspect and the victim is unknown at this time. The Royal Mount Luxury Condo Project is making headlines again after announcing that major luxury stores will be part of its conception. Indeed, the Carbon Leo Group, the real estate group responsible for this project, are excited about the major luxury retailers signing off on their project. But what does it mean for the residents around the area? Gabriel Laperriere-Leblanc has the story and is here with us this morning. So, Gabriel, why is the Royal Mount project, or any news related to it, always met with controversy?
Well, Dylan, this project, as we know, was announced all the way back in 2015 and has known a lot of pushback from both the mayor of Mont-Royal and the citizens living close to the site. Only last year, Mayor Pete Malouf was opposing the project and was describing it as far from a sure thing. He feels like there's already too much traffic in the juncture of the 15 and the 40 highways on Descaries Boulevard.
What other pushback is this project facing?
Low-income housing is needed everywhere in Montreal and in this area as well. Low-income housing groups such as Frappru have been pushing for affordable housing in this particular area, and now we're talking luxury. Also, citizens that live close to the eventual massive construction site will be drowned in construction for at least 2024.
So it should be finished by 2024?
According to the Carbon Leo Group, yes, but is construction ever really done in Montreal?
And what does adding luxury stores in this area mean for the project?
The Royal Mount vision, as it is described by the real estate group, will be like a village and an attraction for its residents and people living around it, like their own little world. According to Andrew Lofty, president of the real estate group, the fact that these big luxury retailers are willing to be part of their project shows how successful the project will be. I talked to David Pourreau this morning, real estate agent for the TIP Real Estate, specializing in luxury real estate, and he had this to say on the Royal Mount project.
It's a pretty innovative project, I would say. What they do is It's a mixed use, what we call in real estate, where they have some residential part and some commercial part. The project is so big that it's kind of a mini town they're going to be building. I think they're trying to aim it to call it kind of the new midtown, something like that. And because of the location, you're at the, it's Mount Royal, I think it's TMR at that part of town. And so whoever they're trying to attract, they need to back it up with the services. So they're trying to target a more like luxurious type of clientele. So
like Mr. Perrault said, Royal Mount is going to be such a big project, a new neighborhood, and he thinks the decision to have luxury attached to it backs up their plan and attracts a certain type of clientele.
Thanks, Gabrielle. That's Gabrielle Laparrière-Leblanc on the Royal Mount project. The new CAQ government is still figuring out exactly who is in charge of what. The major portfolios like finance and healthcare are set, but some other responsibilities have changed hands. And that has at least one Quebec community up in arms. Myriline Catul has more.
One of the big stories is the LGBTQ plus portfolio will no longer be in charge by the Justice Minister. Instead, the government decided to transfer them to the minister responsible for international relations, francophonie, and status of women. That has LGBTQ plus advocate like Cynthia Esserich worried that her issue will not be heard.
Because it's not a priority for them. It's not their main thing that they work with. So they might not be aware of all the subtleties and everything. We just want to be a priority. That's what we want.
The new minister has not responded yet. She's still trying to get in touch with those files.
We know that they're not very happy because, like I said, we're not a priority. So we'll never be. And
despite complaints coming from the community, the government has not made any statement to change the situation.
The Heat best the Warriors. The Phillies take the lead in the World Series, and the Canadiens fall to the Wild. Here's Aaron Nazarian with sport.
Suzuki, Doc, Weidman to Caulfield, back to Weidman, Doc with it, center, Suzuki scores!
The Minnesota Wild beat the Montreal Canadiens 4-1 in last night's hockey game. The Canadiens captain Nick Suzuki scored the team's only goal on the power play. It was an empty net goal scored by Matt Boldy that ultimately put the nail in the coffin for the Habs. A hard hit by the Wild's Marco Rossi on prospect Juraj Slafkovský started a scuffle late in the game, with Jake Evans stepping in for his teammate. The Edmonton Oilers picked up the win against the Nashville Predators, winning 7-4. The Oilers' captain, Connor McDavid, would take 8 shots on goal, scoring 2 goals and getting 2 assists. The Boston Bruins would come back to win against the Pittsburgh Penguins in sudden-death overtime after scoring 4 unanswered goals.
Marsh fits a fly ball to right field. Tucker drifting back to the track, to the wall. He can't get it. It's off the top of the wall and gone. The third home run for
the Philadelphia Phillies defeated the Houston Astros 7-0 in Game 3 of the World Series, taking a 2-1 lead in the best of 7 series.
With a 3-point lead, 24 seconds to go.
Jimmy needs to be selfish and make a play here. Looks for himself or to draw a foul.
6-second difference, shot clock and game clock. Jimmy.
The Miami Heat beat the Golden State Warriors 116-109 in a very exciting game. The Heat's Jimmy Butler would shine, scoring 5 points late in the game, giving his team the lead. That's all for sports. I'm Aaron Nazarian.
Last month was LGBTQ plus Heritage Month, where many historic icons were being celebrated. Today's focus on Heritage Minute is trans soul singer Jackie Shane. Jackie Shane had a big impact on the R&B music scene in Toronto. She will forever be known as a queer icon in Canada. It's going to be a cold day in Montreal with light wind, and it will feel like 9 degrees. Tomorrow will be colder, with the temperature lowering to 6 degrees. The temperature will be low tomorrow, but should rise again on Friday. The weekend will be warmer, but the overcast with a moderate chance of rain. That's your news for 11:30. Thanks for listening. From Concordia News, I'm Dylan Bosanakis.